If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. This morning, as we continue to look at the Gospel of Matthew, we're trying to understand, or better understand, the work and way of the Messiah. Now, by the end of Matthew chapter 9, Jesus' ministry was well underway. And he had gathered himself a small group of followers, a group that included Simon Peter and his brother Andrew, another set of brothers named James and John, and Matthew himself, who was called from his tax collector's booth. As these disciples followed Jesus, they observed what Jesus did and they heard what Jesus said. They saw him ministering to the hurting. They saw him eating with sinners. And they heard him proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. As they followed Jesus, they slowly at times, but increasingly began to understand his mission and his methodology. They began to grasp the work and way of the Messiah. Their careful observation of and thoughtful reflection on Jesus would prepare them to engage in that same work. In Matthew chapter 9, we're looking at verses 35 and 36 this morning where it says, Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. As the disciples followed Jesus, these verses tell us what they observed, that Jesus cared about people. Now, if we aspire to follow Jesus and to care as he cares, we will increasingly open our eyes to see who Jesus sees. Now, far too often we are focused on, if not consumed by, ourselves, or at best, our own little group. We're often consumed with I, me, and mine, my needs, my wants, or at best, my family or my circle of friends. But Jesus, in spite of the demanding nature of his work, the challenges that he faced, and the suffering that loomed in his near future, he never focused on himself. He never limited his concern to his disciples. Jesus saw the crowd. As he went through the towns and villages, as he worshiped at the synagogues, as he encountered one needy person after another, Jesus saw the people. To follow in his steps and to engage in his work requires that we open our eyes to those around us. We open our eyes to our family. Open our eyes in our places of work, in our schools. Open our eyes as we move about our town. Wherever God has us, wherever God leads us, we are constantly surrounded by people. People God cares about. In verse 35, I love this. Jesus went through little towns. He went through little villages teaching in the synagogues and helping needy people. Now notice he wasn't at Jerusalem at this point, the religious center of Judaism. He wasn't in Rome, the political capital of the ancient world. He wasn't in Alexandria, the most notable place of learning and scholarship. Jesus went to little towns and relatively unknown places, and he was worshiping in local congregations. He did so because towns and villages were filled with people of significance. Not in the eyes of the world, perhaps, but in the eyes of God. Who do you see around our small town? Who do you see when you go to the bank, when you go to the grocery store, when you attend ball games, or when you're out doing community activities? Who do you see mowing their lawns or walking their dogs? Who do you see coming or going to church, or maybe staying home on Sundays? You see, wherever we find ourselves, we find ourselves surrounded by people. People God cares about. Right here in our own community are thousands of people who are loved by God. And as we see those around us, we're led to open our eyes to those who are hurting and in need. Verse 35 tells us that Jesus proclaimed the good news. And they were much like us. They were a people in need of good news. And he healed their sicknesses and diseases. The ministry of Jesus reminds us of one constant. Hurting and needy people are everywhere. They're scattered around and living among us. They may be sitting in the pew beside us this morning, suffering in silence. They may be someone we eat lunch with on a regular basis. They may be someone right around the corner from us. They may be someone with whom we go to work or school. They may be coming to children's activities or preparing to send their child to Champs Camp. You know, we don't have to go very far or look very closely to find hurting and needy people. Our church prayer list offers just a glimpse into some of the needs around us. And that list is besides all of the unspoken burdens and unmentioned needs. The hurting and needy are all around us if we simply open up our eyes. Jesus saw the people because he entered the lives of others. He lived and dwelt among them. He worshiped with them in their synagogues. He walked among them in the marketplace. He encountered them wherever he went. And he opened his eyes to them and their needs. To follow in the steps of Jesus, we need to open our eyes to see who Jesus sees. And if we aspire to care like Jesus cares, we'll increasingly open our minds to perceive what Jesus perceives. Verse 36 tells us, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. When Jesus saw the crowd, when he saw the people, he saw them through a particular lens. He saw them not as insignificant or inconsequential. He saw them not as a burden or a bother or an inconvenience. When Jesus looked at the crowd, he saw that they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Now, sheep without a shepherd are easy prey. They're easily frightened and scattered. They're easily lost. They're unable to take care of themselves, provide for themselves, protect themselves, or get what they so desperately need. The phrase, sheep without a shepherd, depicts the helplessness, the lostness, the hopelessness, the vulnerability of sheep without a shepherd. But sheep can be perceived differently. They can be perceived as dirty, as weak, as dumb. They can be perceived as a lot of work and a burdensome trouble. They can be despised and dismissed. See, the example of Jesus illustrates that there's a big difference between seeing people and seeing people as Jesus sees people. See, when Jesus looked at the people, he saw the desperation of their condition and the hopelessness of their state. What do we see when we see people? You see, to perceive what Jesus perceives shapes how we see others. The image of sheep without a shepherd is an apt depiction of the condition of so many in our world today. People are living in the misery of sin, without direction and without hope. Many are seeking to satisfy their deepest longings in the things of this world, only to fall deeper and deeper into misery and the gloom of darkness. So many are lost. So many are wandering, vulnerable to the threats and pitfalls of this world. So many are suffering from misleading or even malicious influences. People today are being manipulated, misled, used, neglected, and at times viciously preyed upon. But having minds that perceives what Jesus perceives leads us to recognize the desperate need of others. So many in our world are much like sheep without a shepherd. I mean, we might consider Champs Camp as it draws closer. We will have the opportunity to minister to between 150 to 200 children from all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of experiences. Now, we may look at such a busy week and see an overwhelming amount of work. I'm already tired thinking about it. We may see a huge commitment of time and energy and expense. We may see a child or two, or possibly a few more, who struggle with behaving appropriately and treating themselves and others with proper respect. We may see some of the hurting, struggling, and overlooked of our world. The question is, will we see their needs? Will we perceive in them what Jesus perceives? You see, the care means we see others as Jesus sees them, that we recognize their struggles and their needs. And if we aspire to care as Jesus cares, we will increasingly open our hearts to love as Jesus loves. Verse 36 tells us that Jesus had compassion for them. Verse 36 says, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them. Compassion indicates love, pity, mercy. He felt a deep concern for them. How do we relate to others? To those who are struggling, to those who are in need? Are we arrogant, condescending, and judgmental? Are we apathetic and indifferent? Or are we compassionate? Are we burdened for them, heartbroken over them? You see, to care like Jesus leads us to feel compassion for others. Compassion is a pained feeling at the sight of suffering, a gut-wrenching feeling that issues into a strong desire to relieve that suffering and remove it. To care like Jesus is to be moved by a deep concern for the needs and spiritual conditions of others. You know, when I read this, I think Jesus was hurting for their lack of spiritual care. He was hurting for the misery and distress that was experienced by the people. Because indeed, they were distressed and dispirited. Some versions have harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. They were a people often neglected and forgotten. They were a people without care and proper guidance. They were a people harassed, used, exploited, and helpless. They were a people whose needs were not being adequately met. When we look around us, do we recognize the same condition in our world today? So many hurting people. So many with needs going unmet. So many broken and being used by the world. So many who have not heard the good news of God's love and what He's done to provide hope. So many right here in our own community who are still living in darkness. Do we see? Do we care? See, the love as Jesus loves moves us to act for the good of others. Alan Emery came from a very wealthy family. He had an experience that made a deep impression on him as a young child. His father received a call saying a well-known Christian had been found at a certain place drunk on the sidewalk. Immediately, his father sent a chauffeured limousine to pick the man up, while his mother prepared the best guest room in the house. As a boy, he watched wide-eyed as the expensive covers were turned down on the exquisite old four-post bed, revealing monogrammed sheets. "But mother," he protested, "he's drunk. He might even get sick." "I know," his mother replied, "but this man has slipped and fallen. When he comes to, he will be so ashamed. He will need all the loving encouragement that we can give him." It was a lesson that son never forgot. Some may have seen a useless drunk. Some may have seen a religious hypocrite. This woman saw a child of God in need of care and encouragement. As a result, she extended it. You see, as we share God's compassion for others, we'll be prepared to share God's compassion to others. So many needs arouse the compassion of Jesus. The people needed someone to give them the message of the kingdom and to help them in their struggles. And Jesus was there. Now, the casual observer of this multitude would never have seen what Jesus saw. To see people with compassion requires a heart like our Savior's. But we have a tendency to become calloused, to become indifferent, seeing only those things that impact us directly. But the example of Jesus calls us to increasingly share His perspective, that we too might be moved by compassion. Now, many years before, the book of Jeremiah portrays the leaders of Israel as individuals motivated by self-interest and consumed with selfish concerns. The selfishness that pervaded these leaders and eventually the entire nation began to destroy it to the point that it would become a devastated wasteland. And in Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, it says this, "Many shepherds," now that's the leaders in that day, "many shepherds have ruined my vineyard. They have trampled down my field. They have made my pleasant field a desolate wilderness. It has been made a desolation, desolate. It mourns before me. The whole land has been made desolate because no one lays it to heart." The good land was trampled and left desolate. The whole land was laid waste. But the saddest part is the reason that it happened. Because no one takes it to heart. The NIV says, because there is no one who cares. There's no one who cares. May God save us from such an attitude and such a fate. May God open our eyes to those around us. Open our minds to perceive what Jesus perceives and open our hearts to love as Jesus loves. Because there are people right here in our own community that live without the hope of the gospel. There are countless people right around us living in the darkness of sin, the sin that separates from God and leads to death and hell. There's a spiritual darkness impacting countless lives, creating misery and despair. Does anyone see it? Does anyone care? May it not happen that our community slips farther into darkness because there is no one who cares. Because the church, those who claim to follow after Jesus, fails to care. I hope we'll open our eyes to the needs around us, see the people that Jesus sees, care about them as Jesus cares, and serve them as the hands and feet of Christ. We've got opportunities every day. We're going to have a huge opportunity a week from tomorrow. Will you be a part of engaging in God's ongoing work in a broken and desperately needy world? Perhaps you're here this morning and you're outside of God's compassion and concern. Do you know His care? Do you know how He looks upon you? He's not looking for an opportunity to clobber you. He's looking for an opportunity to lift you up, pull you out, bring you salvation. And perhaps this morning God is calling you to the first time to say, God, I need what you've done in Christ Jesus. Pick me up. Pull me out. Make me your own. And show me what you'd have me to do. Or perhaps you're here this morning and you're a person of faith. The question for us is, do we share the compassion of God for those around us? Is God opening our eyes, opening our minds, and opening our hearts to engage in His ongoing work? Maybe this morning God has put a person or a family on your heart and mind. Maybe He's put a place of service or a need to meet. And God invites us to be a part of what He's doing, but He begins with caring about what He cares about, seeing the needs around us, and being moved to get involved. Maybe this morning, as a believer, God is moving you to get involved. Say, God, where would you have me? What would you have me do? How could I serve you and those around me? Or perhaps you're here this morning and you're without a church home, and God is leading you to join with us as we seek to better know and extend God's love. Man, it's wonderful to be able to preach about the compassion of God, how He looks upon us, how He looks upon the needy, the broken, the hurting, and the struggling, that He cares. And maybe you're looking for a place to be a part of that ongoing mission, to care and to engage. If God has led you to partner with us, we would welcome you. However God may be leading you to respond this morning, whether there in your pew or here at the front, I invite you to do so. As we stand to sing our hymn of invitation this morning, John's going to lead us. Would you stand together?